You're listening to Radio Free Brooklyn. This is Fun with Fritz. This show is the after party.
Hello, would you like soapy fatty vegan?
Yes.
You have to keep talking as if there's no radio show going on. That's the whole point.
This is my question is, do vegan or vegetarian people get fat? Because they're constantly eating, like, carbs. And there's no protein. Because protein helps you burn fat.
Protein can also make you gain fat.
Really, it's all a conspiracy, and they're just eating pure fat.
Yes.
It's pure, so they get to.
Because coconut will help you. Coconut will help you burn fat too.
Did you know
that drink a gallon of coconut oil?
Do you know that factually, coconut oil has more fat in it than?
You're watching television while you're talking to us. Why should we believe or trust you?
Because I'm authority, and you just believe everything. You're still all
Velcro.
Listening to me. You're listening to someone else laugh.
Cars fall out, so you gotta put the Velcro. And then they put Velcro here, and then you can put it on your car because my car is made of Velcro. Opposite.
Oh, cool. Nice. I like Velcro.
They're looking at a wallet that's attached to a cell phone. It's a new type of wallet.
We got the idea from the movie WALL-E, and that's actually the real reason why it's called WALL-E. Don't believe all of the other you hear. Sorry.
Hey, I have to edit. Now I have to edit this. Gosh.
I didn't say that. I said...
Get the beep.
So the
get the beep out of here.
Yeah, there can't be any swearing.
We're gonna insert the beep that he said, and we're gonna put it over the words when I said.
Yes.
So now we need another one. We need another beep.
But it's free radio. Free.
We are free. You can. But I have a daytime appearance in front of another. Oh, right. Okay. So now we have two kinds of salsa. So there's a green and a red.
I didn't even remember why we were. I thought we just came into this building.
Everyone here is sober, but we've been enjoying something so much that we're having fun. Why did you notice his wallet? Describe his wallet and tell me about your wallet.
It's a little like credit card carrier that is Velcroed on the back of an iPhone with a key ring, and it's intriguing, you know.
And what is your wallet like?
My wallet is, it's like a 20-year-old Kenneth Cole black wallet. I usually went with brown, but some really stylish black guy said, oh, yeah, you must go with black. Black is way more professional. And it's, you know, it's better for the ladies. Get more ladies if you have a black wallet.
By the time they see the wallet, is it already decided if they're going to be with you or not for that period?
I don't know. I've kind of been on a lady fast lately, so it's kind of a moot point. You know, I've been just kind of getting into me, and it's good actually. I think I'm sort of consolidating my what do you call it?
Photo bomb audio version, audio bomb.
Testosterone. That's what it is. I'm conserving testosterone for the next couple of months. So,
You know, you can make.
Here comes the horchata. Yes. Thank you. Great glasses.
You know that when you exercise, you produce testosterone?
I do. I'm an expert on both.
You, any you?
Take that, pro-estrogen feminine.
rice and water?
Yeah.
Oh, and is that why exercise leads to the development of male attitudes and features?
And features, yes. Physical features, most importantly.
On the table now. Our chips,
soda?
Two kinds of salsa.
Oh, really? It tastes like
this is a show about how much you can learn going out with people after you've done something fun. You thought it was so fun, you had a good time, but then the scintillating conversation afterwards that you always wanted to remember the next day, you need not remember it now. It's captured in this show.
This is the Radio Free Brooklyn show, isn't it?
You're listening to Fun with Fritz on Radio Free Brooklyn. We're broadcasting from... Pete's. This is Pete's, I think, right? It's a taco place in Bushwick.
No, El Fogón. El Fogón 2.
This is El Fogón.
El Fogón 2. Do it. No,
and it's Fogón.
So now we're going to enter the part of the show, which is a dance. So you do a dance. This is a dance for the radio.
I learned these dance moves in my very fancy special dance class that my parents spent lots and lots of money on, expensive money.
Here we go. So this woman is jumping around in the restaurant. She's throwing her legs out and thrusting with her knees. Now she's dancing almost like a jig, slapping the top of her foot on the ground. She wiggled things on her bottom.
My dances make windy noises like...
She's spinning in a circle slightly. She threw her hands down as if she was done. Then she sat down as if she was finished with the dance, but the dance is continuing. She kept moving her hair, and then she moved it excessively.
I'm better than you.
She pretentiously combed her hair over and over again, but kept doing it with such repetition that it seemed like a dance was continuing, and now she's sucking her teeth. It's either because there's guacamole in there, or as long as
I'm sucking chewed tortilla chip out of my teeth. And the reason that I am the best dancer is because when you were listening to my dance moves, you were envisioning the best dance moves in the known universe and the unknown universe, because.
And that was a wonderful. That's part of the dance, because this is modern dance, so it can include text, language. It's contemporary.
And it's modern.
Okay,
and
so
it's
there's
classical.
There's a distinction.
It's timeless. It's timeless and time full and sober.
Dance.
I'm sure, like, that guy was on the Gong Show a couple of times. You know, Chuck Barris. Chuck Barris.
Whoa, you had a pencil in your hair, and I didn't know that.
I found this pencil on the floor of the stage.
Wow.
We're in a chip restaurant.
Stage one of digestion.
Chewing.
Mm-hmm.
Masticating.
So, we are not going to let you listen to... We will not let you listen to stage 8, which is excretion. Sorry.
I just reported, man. I was at Whole Foods the other day, and I was at the I was at the olive bar, you know, all different like, but then they had like a whole thing of like roasted garlic, and I literally got like probably about 30 of these like little roasted garlic things. I was just popping them like popcorn, and then it was just like garlic farts for the next 24 hours. Literally, like 2 days later, I was still farting whole garlic, and it was.
You know, that's a category.
Usually when I don't know about you guys, but like usually when you fart, your own farts are kind of like, yeah, that's kind of cool. But like this was not cool. I was just like. Ew.
I don't have as healthy of a relationship with my own farts.
But this is kind of a guy thing.
Guys like talk about farts. Girls pretend they never fart. I had a girlfriend once. She claims she'd never farted in her entire life.
I feel like
we were alone in a car, and she farted, and she said it wasn't me. And I said, it's got to be you, because it wasn't me. You farted.
She
blamed the car. She said the car farted.
What if she farted, and she goes, it wasn't you?
No, that'd be better if she said it wasn't me.
I feel like I'm imagining like when girls fart, they fart flowers.
I've done nothing but fart. I've been farting since I was born, like one long fart. So if I'm always farting, then I'm never farting. So I never makes a noise. So I'm never to blame.
So after that in the relationship, every time I farted, I said it was the car, even when we were in the house. At home, I would say it was the car.
Even when you're in the Arctic ocean, where no cars are around, there's like a car appears in the water, and somehow like.
I like that where you go swimming as a default is the Arctic Ocean. I think that's an ocean that if you touch it with your body, you start to freeze.
You could swim by the pier by New York here, and you could hear cars.
With your Arctic swimming and your death. The 3 seconds before you freeze to death in the Arctic Ocean, you'd be like, I didn't fart, you did. And that would be the end. I win.
It sounds like what you're talking about is anal breathing. But that sounds...
Anal breathing?
Well, she was...
I love that band. We're anal breathing.
I like that. How about an anal beating?
Oh, no. That's all too close to home for most
but it just
people.
You can't speak for most people.
Or how about not like anal beating?
Ah.
How about not anal beating, but anal beading?
B-E-A-D.
Okay, not enough.
I love arts and crafts, especially the art part of that. I'm very artsy.
You're listening to Farts and Crafts here on Radio Free Brooklyn. Radio Free Brooklyn. We're drinking horchata.
It was the car. It was the car.
There's a boxing match on TV. You have to pay for this boxing? Yeah, don't you usually have to pay for boxing?
Not that one is shitty boxing.
It's the conversations that you have late at night that you've always wanted to remember. You just substitute this conversation in. And then later, if you actually did have it, you'd be like, oh, it was only fun at that moment.
When you say, I am so boring to myself and my conversations to myself are not clever and intellectual or avant-garde, so I'm going to turn the radio on at 12:14 in the morning on a Saturday morning and listen to somebody else talk because it's much better than what I would have said to my boring self from my boring self.
Are you old enough to remember Saturday morning cartoons? You guys know about
them. Yeah.
I'm older than Saturday.
I was born before Saturday.
Guys, serious question of this radio session. When was Saturday invented?
Saturn. It's for Saturn, right?
Yeah.
So Monday is for the moon. Sunday is for the sun. Saturday is for the planet Saturn.
This is just alliteration, you...
No, it's not. Friday is for the god Freya. Thursday is for Thor.
Still alliteration.
Wednesday, I don't know. That's the only one for weddings? Wednesday, I don't know.
It's for Wyoming.
What is a weekend?
The weekend.
There's only 1 week or 1 day long. We just called
it.
Well, there were 1 day weeks. The week's like just Monday.
What
was
that?
Every day was Monday. Yeah. We just had only the 1 day, and there were 365 weeks in a year.
That was by your very own regular scientist, and he actually just goes by regular scientist.
I've been preoccupied with making the show. All of the chips on the table have been eaten. The last guacamole is being scraped away by the girl with the infectious laugh. Man with an anal propensity has finished his horchata already that he wasn't even going to order.
I know.
You didn't want to sponge, to use your own word, sponge. That's a great use of the word
bad.
Sponge.
I felt bad at the last dinner because I just tipped over your vanilla shake and you were like, no. Don't even go there. There's coffee shake for you. No vanilla shake for you.
I don't really like coffee.
What if we came into the Mexican restaurant and we were like, can we get those vanilla shakes? That would have been nice.
I usually order a mango lassi wherever I go. And sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't.
Mango lassi?
There's different ways of being racially blind.
Guys, I'm watching the television without, like, receiving any... I'm not paying attention. I'm watching it without watching it. Something's... It's mind wash. It's brainwash is happening to me, and I'm narrating it as it's happening to me. I am a product of the brainwash campaign.
Where is this going down?
Is where Miami, okay, yeah. That makes sense.
Is it pay-per-view, or is it just broadcast? Oh. It's pretty intense. It's intense. That one guy just stands there. There's a man on the left.
Not connecting at all.
No, the guy on the left is connecting. And he...
Guys, I like how in dance you could lift one person like with such like perfection. Three tall, strong men. And I was like falling to the ground. Yeah.
Well, it was all about
that was purposeful.
Coordination.
That was it was purposeful. That was the art of it. Wow. Oh my god.
This looks beautiful.
What'd you get?
Tacos.
Yeah, you got four tacos.
Describe what you got. Like, look at the plate and say what's on the plate.
Wow.
This is a very difficult test. This reminds me of the test that
what
I took.
What color is that?
This reminds
start
me
on
of the
color.
Test that I took in first grade when they had me take the test because they were trying to decide whether they wanted to put me in the special class, the special gifted course, the gifted class, okay. The good special. And I... I got, like, one question wrong of what would have passed. I got, like, one question away from what would have passed, but they put me in the good special class anyway. And then my life started.
Strangely good.
Describe what's on the plate.
Some brown stuff and white stuff and then some vegetables.
So, okay. Yeah, in three stripes. That's
it's very patriotic.
Well, it's amazing. So there's a line of black like refried beans. Then there's this yellow rice. I don't see any white. Where do you see the white? Maybe that's why you're in the gifted class. You can see white.
Yeah, I can see. I see white people. It's the it's scarier than I see dead people. It's a much scarier film. There are things like oppression and.
Describe your.
Mine's a little disappointing. I thought it was going to be more like the red greasy chorizo wrapped in egg, but it's kind of been baked into the egg. The rice and beans are probably what I expected. So
I think you should mix them all together, and that'll be great. Describe yours.
Mine is carne asada, which means meat, awesome, and lengua, which is a cow tongue. A tongue taco, which is really sexual.
A tongue taco?
It's a tongue taco. Yeah. Want some tongue in your taco?
Yeah.
You actually have more green than you'd expect. You have green pepper.
But you have more green than my plate, and he has more green than my plate, and I was hoping to have the greenest plate on the table.
Dude, I'm all about tonguing the taco.
All about it.
New band name, Tonguing the Taco.
You're listening to Fun with Fritz. The grate is being pulled down in the building. There's only one way to go now. All the windows are covered in gray slag metal.
Dropping the drape.
And thank you. Thank you. Have a good night.
Thanks.
And we're trying the front door, going outside. How are you? Do you have your stuff?
Let's ask the people listening. Hey, do I have all of my stuff?
Seems like you do.
I hate stuff.
It's gotten to be winter outside since we walked inside in late spring.
We've been in there for 24 hours a day, 7 days a week.
Yeah. Place is closed.
this place has been like in creation for like ever. At least a year.
We're looking at an empty recessed storefront with 1, 2, 3, 4. Yeah. 4 stories. Look at how far, look at how much front space there. Like, what is that?
Excuse me, Rick, you missed our conversation.
Oh, it is parking. You're absolutely
I missed your conversation. And I miss it now.
I want all of these to be dead too.
Tell us your what would you put in this?
Huh?
An epoch.
A what?
Wrapped in a millennium.
Millennium burrito. You think you were clever with a time machine. We have time burrito.
Millennium burrito has arrived.
And we're walking past another place.
Bogart Street? So don't Bogart that street.
Let's go dancing.
I'm going to get super cheap oysters here. I don't know if I want that.
We dance over there? Is there dancing over there?
There's $1 oysters.
There used to be a bar. I did a strip tease in a bar here once. For
what?
As a hunchback for the bartender whose
well,
birthday it was
and reenact. Let's go there right now.
She was
or do it outside in the cold.
that was the end of it. I ran out and I tried to catch the bus. I waited at the bus station. They were afraid I would get arrested or something.
If I were a bus, I would be afraid of you too.
It's a good thing it's a moped. Yeah, it was a hunchback striptease. The idea was that the woman liked people who had something like wrong with them or odd or just interesting. And then, yeah, oh, that huacha looks good. Yeah, right. Should we get it?
Why did we go to a restaurant where you can sit down in the warm room and have nice plates? Why didn't we just go?
What would be our alternative? Go stand outside in the cold and...
Yeah, and just eat crappy food.
So we're walking next to
like,
a camouflage.
Scrappy is like when I wanted to say...
Hey! Whoa, hi, how are you? Good? I'm going to give you a small hug.
Hug him too.
We're just coming from a radio party.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, how about you? Oh, wow. In the camo.
Didn't see it.
This is my friend Elir. He's a scientist.
There's a lot of people that are like, I don't know where you're located. It's like,
That's great. So it actually works.
Yeah, it's camouflage.
Can't find you.
It's the only green thing in Brooklyn.
Are they trying to be funny?
No, it's they're.
So oh, they're not.
I can't find you. I don't know where you are.
I'm just noticing this now.
Here, I've got a question about Brooklyn. How does this tree get water?
Hey. Hi. How are you?
Good. What are you doing here?
We're just on the street corner. Oh, everyone's knowing each other. So this is Justin. Cassidy.
Cassidy? What's your name? What?
What is going on?
How is motherhood?
It's crazy.
Small town.
Yeah.
She's awesome.
How old is she now?
Yeah. Wow.
Tacos. The Brooklyn Free Radio or something like that.
Well, the last time I saw you, you were like 8 months pregnant.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And now you're so tiny again.
Then they record, not live, they're recording.
Yeah. But I mean, you look like just an ordinary person.
No.
Not like a baby wielding person.
Baby holder.
Yeah.
I know, I can't.
I'll never take you alive.
How is everything going?
It's hard.
Do you want to be on my radio show?
Is it only blonde?
No? Okay. I thought I would ask.
And I said sequins. Maybe I know someone.
Maybe I know someone wearing sequins, and you did.
But anyway, yeah, you too. Well, if you ever come into Manhattan, let me know. Yeah. Oh, when she visited. Oh, cool. I didn't see her. The only time I could see her was, I think, when she had a wedding or something like that.
But she loves Portland.
People love Portland.
Don't go.
Yeah. Well, she bought a house. Wow. That is loving it. Yeah.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, yeah.
That reminds me. Where's
your wallet?
Car key?
Oh, no.
Oh.
I don't have a car key.
What?
It's not attached to your other key?
Where could it
have fallen out of my...
Oh, no.
I feel something.
You have it.
I feel something.
Of course you do.
What were you doing?
I was... at a bar, because I saw
She's
this.
Running away from home.
I'm running from the police. They won't get me alive, only dead. That's what we decided.
She's running away from home. She's running from home. She's like, I can't go home. I gotta run away.
I don't want to go home. My roommate is having a birthday party on our roof, and I really don't want to go.
She's running. We're gonna
embed her. It's on your roof. It's not in your apartment.
I know, but I just don't want to go. Inevitably, people will end up in our apartment.
Yes. Sleeping in your bed and vomiting on your stuff.
Of course.
Peeing on the toilet rim.
Yeah, we don't even have a toilet seat because it broke.
Yeah, now you pee on it. Now you have to hover.
Yeah. So that's where I'm at.
What have you done instead?
I went to go see a musical my friend wrote about. It's called The Disembodied Hand That Fisted Everyone to Death, the musical.
Hey!
Hey! Oh, that looks like a fun person. It was so amazing. I really thought it was so good. I thought it would only be sort of good.
Wait, what was so good?
This musical I saw.
Oh, tonight?
Yeah, it was so good.
Okay.
And it was part of this festival that it was like called the Bad Theater Festival. Yeah, and I think, what is everyone wearing sequins for? Everyone is wearing sparkles. Okay, so it was part of
the fourth shiny cape to be thrown over us.
Oh, is that in Manhattan?
Yeah.
Get lost.
Okay. Happy what?
Some people.
Happy submarine. I think you said happy Halloween. He said happy submarine.
Well, they're celebrating Halloween because they are in. They took the time machine ahead of time, and so now it is. What is Halloween? October 31st. It is October 31st for them. For them. And they were like.
And yes.
I got a clever idea for Halloween. Oh, I don't know what I'm being for Halloween. At all.
So are you going to stay at Aaliyah's house?
I don't know what's going on. I'm just falling to crap.
How about you?
Wait, you're following me or I'm following?
I don't know what's going on. I'm just following.
There's a sleepover
you
at
can
my.
Can you follow yourself on Instagram?
No.
Why not?
Maybe
that's
you can.
Something...
No, I'm sorry!
There's something wrong with it. Instagram, if you can't follow yourself, you get the place of honor.
What is the end goal here? I don't know. Hey, I was intending
Justin,
to go to my
Justin, can you unlock
house.
The front door?
What?
Yes.
Unlock the front door for me, please.
Okay.
Here.
A year ago. Where are we going?
Who knows? Just jump in.
I know.
Stop talking. Start acting.
What is your car? Teach you. You get in the stranger's car.
Yeah, I know. I've done this a thousand times.
Thank God we didn't take the car.
That's true.
That's true. Right.
Oh, man.
That's completely
Wait.
That's so sweet.
Are you trying to hug him, but I'm in front of him, so you just have to hug me in order to hug him?
Well, I didn't want to be all, like, creepy just on you. I figured if I was creeping on the both of you, then it's...
But now that you're telling me
it spreads the
cream. It is less creepy that you're explaining that to me.
Also, too, I can sort of, if I grab his
leg... That's warm.
Oh, you know what happened when I dropped my phone in the ocean?
I lost the audio tape of the girl I went on a blind date with who came out of jail.
It's just as well. I'd heard that too many times already.
I know, but I mean, that's worth...
You
that's worth having forever.
It's true, it's true. You should have emailed it to yourself. That's the problem with the iPhone.
I got on a date with her the day she got out of prison.
Whoa, that's so awesome.
It was a bad setup.
Awesome?
She was really easy.
Because
he'd been in prison for a year. Yeah. It was, like they say, like a man out of prison, it's true.
What?
I'm not in the...
This is the radio show.
Hey, I don't even know your name, and I feel like I should, because I've definitely seen you before.
My name is Undreo.
Undreo Moonflower.
It's very native.
Native to where?
Is that true or is it a joke? You're laughing. Makes me think it's a joke.
You're listening to Radio Free Brooklyn. This is Fun with Fritz. Tonight on our show, it's the after party. This is the party after the party.
We're crowding everyone in the car.
This is where you had more fun. And later you wished that you had some record of it. Well, now you have a record of a party, of an after party, and you can reflect on it. And you can be like, oh, well, I guess I had a good time in the moment. And then upon reflection, I'm glad I don't remember everything that happened.
Should I only talk in an NPR voice?
Yeah, talk in an NPR voice, describing the situation so people can envision it, because nobody can see it yet.
Right.
So, we're in a car.
Morning zoo.
I always think it's a dark-colored car because the seats are dark on the inside, but on the outside, the car is...
It's kind of chartreuse.
Yeah, it is.
No, it's actually a kind of chartreuse.
It's a mauve chartreuse with a mauve trim. And what are some features of the car?
Well, it has lights. You can see inside the car.
There's a sky wedding.
A moonroof.
Yes, it's a moonroof. It's late 2005.
Oh, catching broadcast.
Yes, I know.
Vasar Ilir
Topali
1990-0991 Ilapot Iralai.
Ilapaparap. I can do my morning zoo voice. Here's my morning zoo. And we're back!
You think that we started to speak in another language, but you just switched channel to another channel that was a different language, which was the wrong thing to do. Why would you ever switch from this channel?
The after party continues on Radio Free Brooklyn. You're listening to Fun with Fritz. I'm here with Keith. So when I put this over to you, you can say hello. Oh, why don't we talk about what we've been doing, the game we've been playing. What's the game we've been playing?
The game that we were playing is the mayonnaise thing, and now you're trying to talk the mayonnaise, but it was too heavy for me.
And the mayonnaise was flowing through the streets of New York City, taking over the streets with copious amounts of mayonnaise. Don't pick on that, because that's part of the counter, and if we pull that off, that'll break.
And salt. And I was Spider-Man.
And what happened to the mayonnaise?
The mayonnaise puts me down.
Oh no. The mayonnaise flowed over you, but what happened after you got covered in mayonnaise and then ketchup came around the corner?
Like that.
What were you doing? I couldn't see it.
So when they pass it over to you, you say something.
Okay. And now I'm here with Spider-Man. He's doing okay and we're about to make some eggs. So as you can see, I've taken the oil. And first I've poured the oil in the pan. And now here we have some eggs. I always add some water to the eggs, you know.
Yes, we do. We always add the water to this egg.
I have, if I have milk, I put milk in, but I didn't have any.
If we have milk, you put milk in.
Okay, and here, now we have the pan, and it's ready for you to pour in. So you can pour the eggs in the pan and see what happens to them.
Okay.
What do you think will happen to the eggs when you pour them in a hot pan?
So let me do this. Hey, Devin, put it
there. Okay. Tell us what you're doing.
I'm putting it in the pan.
Great. What does it look like to you?
It Midnight Wanda. Because it's in the pan. You know, drink out all of it with boats.
Would you like to go on the pan with boats on the eggs and navigate the eggy water with boats?
Yes. And I'll poop in the poop.
Oh no, and you'd poop in the poop? Well, that's what we do, I guess. We go in the toilet. Oh, there's a little bit left over, isn't there?
And we need to pull it in.
Okay. Great job.
Oh, put it there.
The reason I can't put it there is because that one's not hot, but the one in the back is hot. That's why I'm cooking in the back.
But why is this in the front?
Well, there's a front. Why is this in the front? Why is the knob in the front?
Yeah.
The knob's in the front because our hands are in the front, and it's easy to control from the front.
But how to pair to that and not red?
Exactly. It's not red. The reason is that I didn't turn on the front burner because I knew you and I would be standing here. And I didn't want us to be too close to the hot burner where we could burn our skin.
Yes, so...
So that one's red because it's on, because it's heating up.
Let me tell you a story.
Okay, tell me a story.
A story of a boat driving on a sea was a little bit too wavy for that boat. But the wave were really, really big, and the boat almost sunk down. But Painter Man was there to help it.
How did he help them?
He just dove down into the water and then pushed it to the harbor and tied it up.
Wow, that's amazing.
The end.
What a great story, Keats.
I'm going to tell me a story.
Okay, should I tell you a story of about the same length?
No, about a car driving.
Oh, about a car driving. But I mean, how long of a story would you like me to tell you?
Really long.
Whoa. Okay, a car was driving. Are there any complications?
Yeah. And the road was super bumpy.
Okay, so one day, Lou was driving his car to go see his friend Frank. They're mechanics, and they work down by the dock. And he needed to drive down there, but the road was so bumpy. Because the day before, it had been 150 degrees outside, which was the hottest day that they'd ever had on the planet that people could remember. And the road was made of asphalt, and it had melted. The tar in the road had melted, and a big truck had been driving on it. And so the road got all squished around. And so now he was driving on the road. It was so bumpy. He was going boom, 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 boom.
Then Pineapple ran in front of the car.
And Spider-Man landed in front of the car. And then what happened?
The car... And the back of the car was the water.
The back of the car was full of water because they were trying to take a shark. Lou was taking a shark down to sea, to the harbor, to release it. Because it somehow had gotten washed up the stream because the currents were messed up because it was such a hot day the day before.
Yeah, it was.
And Spider-Man landed in front of the car and he swerved to avoid Spider-Man. But the car flipped over. And the trunk opened up, and the water with the shark poured out. And suddenly he was worried that the shark wouldn't survive very long because it didn't have any water.
But then the dinosaur saw the ocean.
But then the shark saw the ocean. The ocean wasn't very far away. What did it do?
Oh, see that?
Oh, the eggs are cooking. Okay, now we grab this.
Yes, can I?
Yes, you can. So this is a spatula, yeah. And you kind of push it on the bottom to move what's cooking on the bottom so that it doesn't... yeah, that's perfect. Just keep moving it. Yep. Yeah. Because you don't want it to break, and then you kind of flip it over. And go over here. Flip it over. There we go. That's perfect. Okay, I'm going to cut some cheese. And then it'll be done. And we are having... food that you have the day after going out late. We may be out of cheese. We out of cheese, love? Yeah. Okay. No more cheese. All right, well, I think these eggs may be done. Watch out, please.
Ah!
Dr. Lulu. Yeah, they look done.
What are you doing?
Just flipping them over.
You flipped them.
Okay, now turn off the oven right there. turn off the heating element. The other way, sweetie. Yep, to the word off. Yep, perfect.
That word off.
And now for the exciting conclusion of the story of Spider-Man, the shark, Lou the mechanic, and the bumpy road. Keats, they could see the ocean over there. Here, come over here, I'll tell you over here. They could see the ocean. Shark could see the ocean, and it had hope. What did the shark do? It looked for a stream, and then it said, Spider-Man, if you can help me, get me to that stream. I can swim down that stream and out into the ocean.
How did Spider-Man help me to get to the stream?
How did Spider-Man do it?
He swam underwater and he grabbed his short tail and then threw him to the stream.
All right, Spider-Man swam in the stream, grabbed the shark's tail, and threw him further down the stream. The shark landed with a splash, and he wriggled his tail and he said, Thank you, Spider-Man. We people of the deep will look out for you. If you're ever in underwater, we will help you. Here, take this badge and put it on your suit. And Spider-Man had had so many adventures that his suit was covered in badges from everyone, from the condiment cleaners to the shark lovers to other superheroes like Batman, had given Spider-Man different badges that he wore on a Pennzoil jacket underneath his suit, ready to display at any moment, should they want to see it. Speaking of Pennzoil, Lou came up to Spider-Man and he said, Spider-Man!
What?
My car broke down on the bumpy road. Oh. Why did you hit me, Spider-Man?
Because you are a bad guy.
But my car just broke down. How does that make me a bad guy?
And Spider-Man went on the attack. And poor Lou the mechanic, who felt completely innocent, got knocked out onto the ground. And so Frank the mechanic waited for Lou downtown. But then Spider-Man himself, worn out by the struggles, or perhaps remorseful at beating up an innocent man, fell down and seemed to be not moving.
A policeman
walked by. It was Officer Bilbo, a long and distant relation of the Hobbit from the J.R.R. Tolkien stories. But this Bilbo was tall, although, like the Bilbo from the stories, he liked to eat biscuits, crumpets, scones, and drink tea, and have potatoes. And right now, his pockets were full of potatoes.
But then Bilbo saw Spider-Man.
And Spider-Man jumped up and Bilbo said, Oh,
Spider-Man. Hello, how are you doing?
Spider-Man.
What? Hey, Spider-Man, please. I'm a police officer. I see that you've beaten up this man. He's got Spider-Man fist prints all over him. Why did you do it, Spider-Man?
I come to the outside and flew on Bilbo.
What did he do?
He grabbed a pumpkin outside and threw it on Bilbo.
Oh, and the pumpkin landed on Bilbo's head with a crunch. And now instead of his own head, Bilbo had a pumpkin head. And he looked like a walking jack-o'-lantern in a policeman's uniform.
Hey, well, listen to me now, Spider-Man. I'm a jack-o'-lantern walking around in a policeman's uniform.
Oh. And Spider-Man just attacked him with a roundhouse and then fell to the ground, unconscious. But a moment later, Spider-Man was back and on the prowl. He climbed to the top of a nearby building and then fell backwards, landing in a pile of hay. And then he did it again, climbing up, looking out at the sun, and then boom! Falling down, Spider-Man was down. But now, since Spider-Man had taken to just pulverizing people, passers-by, people no longer were distraught when they saw Spider-Man lying unconscious on the ground.
was lying on the street.
He was lying on the street. And the policeman felt obliged to put up some cones around him and to stop traffic so that nobody would run over Spider-Man. Especially not a giant garbage truck that was rolling down the hill.
Someone tried to talk. You were a toilet trash.
But the garbage truck was full of mayonnaise.
I need to stop it.
That's you.
But the garbage truck rolled over Spider-Man.
The garbage truck rolled over Spider-Man. But Spider-Man was encased in mayonnaise. A hard-setting mayonnaise that protected his body. He jumped up and pulled off the mayonnaise. And he threw it down. And then they said, Spider-Man, you're coming with us. You have broken too many laws. You have beaten up Lou and threw a jack-o'-lantern at a policeman. Now it's time for you to go to jail. No. And Spider-Man said,
if you do that to me, I'll throw webs on you.
Oh, yeah? Well, if you throw webs on us, then we will be stuck together. But we'll call for somebody else to come and grab you. Maybe an airplane.
But if an airplane comes, I have pedal power.
And you're going to fire something from your webs? Shooters? And Spider-Man adjusted his web shooters so that he could make a building out of them. And he turned the dial, and he started to shoot all kinds of things out of his web shooters that you need for a building, like the pipes, the infrastructure, the steel girding, the cement, bricks, windows.
A building. And you'll be a bad guy.
And Spider-Man built a giant building, and soon bad guys came and crawled into the building. They wanted to charge people rent for the building, and Spider-Man said,
you can't do that! You little jail!
And then Spider-Man took the warrant for his own arrest, and he changed the name, and he wrote their names instead.
And he got the dude in there, and he threw them out in there, and he turned off the lights, and he locked the doors.
And he threw them in jail, turning off the lights and locking the doors.
I put the bad guys in jail.
You put the landlords in jail who were trying to charge money for the building that you built?
Yeah.
Wow, Spider-Man.
Because they were trying to dip me and throw me in the water.
I see. True social justice accomplished by the capricious means of a wanton superhero.
You be a bad guy.
And that is all for the adventures today.
You be a bad guy got out of jail.
But then, 2 weeks later, the bad guy came out of jail.
Hi, my name's Flobitch. Flobust. Flobar. My name is Flob. Just call me Flo. And I'm trying to charge $3,000 for a tiny studio on the Lower East Side or Williamsburg or even...
I got you in jail.
What's the charge? Why are you locking me in jail?
What?
Why are you locking me in jail? I'm just trying to make a living like everyone else. I have a family of people to depend on me. Are you going to leave me in jail for a long time?
No, I'll let you out today.
Oh, thanks. So you're pretty sympathetic. As soon as I tell you...
All the bad guys ran out.
And all the bad guys ran out of the jail. As soon as they saw Flobert had been released, they all had families to go back to.
Then they saw Spider-Man.
But then they saw Spider-Man. And what
did
he do?
Who are you?
Oh, it's Flobert, and I'm in charge of the Landlords Association here.
And who's that other bad guy?
Oh, the other bad guy's name is Mr. Guinness.
We had other bad guys running to Spider-Man.
Spider-Man, I'm going to defeat you with my liquid refreshment.
And as Guinness tried to pour liquid refreshment all over Spider-Man,
I think I can get up you. You'll be a policeman.
Boom.
I'm going to eat some eggs. No. How about I'll be a policeman, then I'll eat some eggs?
Yeah.
Oh, Keith, it's almost green eggs.
And a green egg.
Because I put green sauce.
Can I see?
Yeah, come and look. It's the morning after a party.
Green eggs.
Our show about what happens after a party continues.
Let me put the green eggs on it.
You're listening to the continuing adventures of the strange and capricious superhero.
So, before you eat, you be a policeman.
This is Radio Free Brooklyn. You're listening to Fun with Fritz. This is the last segment of our program on after parties. This is an after party. And I'm seeing an old friend who's just arrived from another place. This is a radio show. You're
oh,
on the
really?
Radio.
Are you on the radio right now?
Yes,
oh,
we are. Recording? You are too.
Oh, are you?
Where this is live on the radio.
Oh, this is live. Oh, we're live on the radio. Hi. This is Amy Uzi live on the radio.
So tell us about. So this is a show about after parties, like the conversations that you have after a party, or you know.
Oh, okay.
And but so we can just have a conversation. But what I'm curious about is what was your latest party? You're coming from a party. I feel like tell us about your party.
Right. Well, the last party I had it was on Thursday night. And it was sort of a pre-birthday gathering,
For you, it's your birthday.
Yeah. Well, my birthday is really Monday, but I knew I was going to be in New York City. I was going to be here on Monday, and so some friends in Phoenix wanted to, like, hang out and have some fun. So we danced, and we did karaoke. We went to dinner, and
how can you handle it, the non-New Yorkness of Phoenix, because you're such a New York person.
Oh yeah, you know what? I was thinking about it when I was walking down the street today. I was thinking about how New Yorkers have mastered the fine art of self-sufficiency. It makes me exceedingly grateful whenever a New Yorker does something outside of their character, like holds the door open for me or returns a smile. And, yeah, like, New Yorkers are tough nuts, man. They're tough nuts.
You're, like, one of the toughest.
Yeah. In Phoenix, like, people in Phoenix, they expect people to help them. They walk into, like, a room and they're like, everybody, look at me, you know? Whereas in New York, like, at a party, everyone's looking at themselves. You know, no one, like, everyone.
Even at your birthday party.
Yeah, everyone's taking selfies in New York. People in Phoenix, like, are always asking you for something. You know?
Interesting. Yeah. Like you're a resource.
Yeah.
That kind of a thing. Yeah, I think when I came to New York from the West Coast, I had that feeling that I needed to connect to people at the party, and this was my one chance, and this could make my career right now here with this guy from Sony, you know.
But did people actually you connect with people all the time, right?
Yeah, I think that having that in mind though sort of sabotages it, and you have to connect to them for another arbitrary thing, like, you know, like your hair is red purple.
Yeah.
And I have a mustache, and that is the way that we can relate. Not because you have some career thing to offer me. It has to be really, at least I found, the more superficial the connection. Or not necessarily superficial, but the more, the further it is from the, you know, your goal.
Right.
And the more you forget the goal, the more likely the goal is to arise,
yeah.
I think.
Yeah, well, you know, I feel like what you, the unique thing that you have to offer to people, Fritz, is that you remind people the importance of connecting with each other in New York, like, because we're so isolated out here, and we forget how much joy there is in connecting and, you know, and embracing each other and learning from each other and all that. Like, I remember you were doing the love corners.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah. On New Year's Day.
Yeah, and I I never was able to take part in that. But maybe are you gonna do it again this New Year's?
Yeah, sure. Do you wanna come?
Yeah, sure. I'll try to.
Okay. Well, it was international, so you could do it in Phoenix.
Oh, okay. Well, no, I mean, I'm always here. I'm always in New York for New Year's, but the thing is, I'm always also doing the poetry marathon things that they do, like at St. Mark's Church and the alt New Year's poetry marathon. But I mean, I don't know. Those things are getting kind of like, but
well, that's another topic. I'm always so curious what happened to slam poetry. There was such a huge scene. It was like every place, every night you could do a different slam, and there were so many different styles. And then I feel like it just all evaporated at a certain point.
Well, I don't know what slam is like out here, but I'll tell you something. Something very interesting happened to the slam scene in Phoenix. So, yeah, so he just decided to, like, not do slam anymore. And so he just does, like, he does open mics. And he has another really cool show that he does. It's called Pep Rally. And
Are you in love?
Am I in love? Oh, no. Well, he's married. He's got a kid and all that.
Maybe it makes it more lovable. It's like proven territory.
I'm in love with everyone. I'm in love with that refrigerator over there.
You're one of my great inspirations. Amy performed at Hi Christina, this space that I ran with Christina, who's my wife, back in someday, 2008 or 9.
Which makes Fritz even more attractive.
And, right, exactly. And the kid.
Yeah,
don't forget. Yeah. And yeah, it works. It all works. But he or she, do you go by he or she these days? I mean, I've always considered you she, but people are switching it up these days.
I go by thou.
Thou. So thou took a banana. Oh, no, you didn't take a banana. You took like 25 cents, I think, or 50 cents. And that was all. And you weren't wearing any clothes. And then you were like, no, you guys, you can be naked in this city. And this was in 2008.
Oh, you're talking about like when I was doing that talk about being naked. Well, yeah, I was wearing a tutu, a green tutu, and wasn't a mangina, it was.
Oh, the weenus?
The weenus, yeah.
But eventually you took everything off.
No, well.
Because I have a photograph.
When I was in High Christina, I was naked. But when I walked down the street, I don't think so. No, I was. I was because I knew that we could be topless, that anybody could be topless in New York City, but you couldn't be completely naked.
So my revisionist history is that you, and this is how I've always remembered it, so this is an interesting thing, is that you were totally naked.
No.
And that you were like, this is legal because it's art. Even me just going and buying a banana naked, this is art if I have that intention. Got out and you went down. And this is the reason that I feel convinced of it, is because I was taking video like on a phone at that in that era, which was kind of a sketchy phone. And I felt like I saw, I have a, like in my mind, I can see you in the deli asking the guy for a banana. And he was just totally straight-faced about the whole thing, as if he'd been cast for the role.
Well, people in the deli were laughing their faces off, but
the guy who sold it to you, though.
Oh, yeah. He was an older guy, and he just sort of was like, yeah, you know, here, you crazy kid. What happened was I didn't have any money on me. I remember I borrowed a dollar from someone because I didn't have any money on me, and I was hungry, and I wanted to go into that deli and buy a banana. Well, I don't even know if I was intending on buying a banana. I think I was intending on buying something.
And that seemed like the most possible thing to eat?
I know I was being a little stinker, really, you know, like, and trying to be as sexual as possible, like being a topless woman wearing a weenus and a tutu going into a deli, and I knew what I was doing. I was like, oh, something phallic to stick in my mouth and be all like sexy, you know?
So that's funny, because the one thing that makes it not art being naked in New York is if it is with a, they call it the prurient interest, like if it's intentionally sexualized. So, and that's funny because that's an area that art then can't discuss in a way, or at least in public, right? It can't discuss. It can't be too sexy, actually, if then it's not art anymore.
Yeah,
at least according to the law.
Yeah, you know, I do recall that was when Jonathan Ames was doing his Bored to Death series. And what was that that famous actor dude was at that time?
Oh yeah, Jason Schwartzman. He came that night?
He was there. He was there, I remember. Like, and he, you know, he was sitting in a corner kind of looking like Jonathan Ames, you know, cuz he was trying to be Jonathan, you know.
Yeah, he was shadowing him in order to study his character. And
yeah. Yeah, and so he was sitting there looking kind of like interested but bored. You know.
Tune in to Fun with Fritz for other imaginative adventures with odd and wonderful characters.
Fun with Fritz, it's a funny show. Fun with Fritz, come on, let's go.
This show is about that, what happens after the party, the conversations after the party that you wanted to listen to. You wanted to remember, oh, what a great night I had. Now you can look back and you can hear it, just an example of some after-party conversation and interaction, and think, oh, that was so, yes, that's just like my great after-party experience. Or, oh, it seemed so great at the time, but now upon reflection, it was like just fine. The problem with analysis and looking closely at things is that they become apparent in all their wrinkles and flaws and or their character can reveal itself. But it's a character that didn't exist then, because then it was just flowing, and the party was flowing by, and the after-party conversation was just flowing along, and there was no special attention given at that time to these little things. There was no freeze frame. And I was thinking about, I have a friend, I just met this woman who had some surgery done on herself, and this is like the second time I've seen her, and it's the second surgery that she's had done. And I once saw this TV show about somebody who's also having all these surgeries done. And then there's another woman I know who had a surgery done like on her. So this is like body augmentation stuff. And this other woman I used to work for, she had like a chin tuck done, and she died from the anesthetic, you know, died from a chin tuck. And she would write books that were about get back at your husband for dumping you and marrying a trophy wife kind of things. They were sort of anti-materialist, anti-the woman as a ageless, youthful creation, object of desire, but more about, you know, the woman as a person, and man or woman regardless, but like the peacock is a person still, even though they're the thing that you look at and desire. It seemed to me that there was this thing that these all these people had in common, which was they would get this body stuff done, but stop having sex, like as a replacement, almost. And I was thinking about how the photograph is, in a way, to blame for all this, that thing that freezes us in time, kind of artificially, and presents distortion of a moment for scrutiny that is not otherwise scrutinizable. The instant of all of the feet being off the ground of a horse, which the horse experiences just as part of its stride, not as a moment to strive for. Like, imagine if horses were all caught up in how they looked at that moment when their 4 feet were off the ground, and there was like a specific thrust of the leg and like flip of the hoof that they were trying to achieve. And I feel like that's where we are in some ways with our bodies as we present them in photographs. Because we move through time, but then we have to arrest ourselves in this moment. So it's like being under arrest, you know, having a heart attack, presenting yourself, going under the knife, you know, in order to be the peacock for someone else. Anyway, that's the meta show, the meta, because after the party, you can be in this meta space. I remember the sun would come up and I would be walking on Houston Street after dancing. I would look up at the sky and this, and the shit, like the gradually changing color, and it was so peaceful and so quiet, and you could walk in the middle of the street sometimes and you'd reflect on everything. Often it might be like how things almost worked out with somebody But every now and then, you would get a little philosophical about things. So, in the spirit of that, this is the end of our show. Thanks for listening. Fun with Fritz. Saturdays at 10. See you next time.